Well, thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. Dr. Lawless, thank you for that very kind introduction. It's wonderful to see a lot of my friends and colleagues that I consider friends here. And thank you guys, ladies, and students and former students and gentlemen in the ministry I consider friends also. And thank you for the opportunity to be here. It's an incredible privilege to stand at this pulpit and to have an opportunity to share from God's Word. And I would encourage you to take your Bible and turn with me to the Old Testament, to the 39th chapter of Genesis. And I want to begin reading at verse 1. And it's an honorable thing for us to be able to read God's Word and to have it in our hands. And in honor of the reading, let me encourage you to stand with me. And you follow along in your Bible. I'm going to read the first 10 verses, or 9 verses of Genesis, chapter 39. And let me invite you to follow along with me. And I'm going to be reading from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. It says, "Now Joseph had been taken to Egypt. An Egyptian named Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, serving in the household of his Egyptian master. And when his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made everything he did successful, Joseph found favor in his master's sight and became his personal attendant. Potiphar also put him in charge of his household and placed all that he owned under his authority. From the time that he put him in charge of his household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house because of Joseph. The Lord's blessing was on all that he owned, in his house and in his fields. He left all that he owned under Joseph's authority. He did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well built and handsome. And after some time, his master's wife looked longingly at Joseph and said, 'Sleep with me.' But he refused and said to his master's wife, 'Look, my master does not concern himself with anything in his house, and he has put all that he has, all that he owns, under my authority. No one in this house is greater than I am. He has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. So how could I do such a great evil and sin against God?'" Please be seated, and may God bless us this morning as we study His Word together. For those of you who are sports enthusiasts, the name George O'Leary may ring a bell. George O'Leary was the head football coach at Georgia Tech. And then he got the call of a lifetime. He was hired to be the head football coach at the University of Notre Dame. Now, I'm not a Notre Dame fan by any stretch of the imagination. But from what I understand in the coaching ranks, that at that time that he was hired to be the head football coach at Notre Dame, it was the premier head coaching job. Because of the facilities they have, the recruiting efforts that they have, the alumni, the money that they've got, the reputation. You literally can recruit all over the nation, all over the world, because everyone knows who Notre Dame is. It is the premier job in coaching. Within just a few days after being hired as head coach, a reporter, a local reporter, was going to do a story on George O'Leary and did a little research into his background and discovered that there were a couple of small discrepancies in his resume. You see, on his resume, it said that he had earned a football letter at the University of New Hampshire, I believe. And the truth was, he did play football at New Hampshire. But the problem is, he got hurt very early on. He never played in a game, and therefore he never earned a letter. He was on the football team, did graduate from the university, but he never earned the letter like it said that he earned. The other small discrepancy said that he had earned a master's degree. The truth is that he had taken classes towards a master's degree, but he had never earned the degree itself. What had happened is that when he was an assistant coach at the University of Alabama, an assistant to the assistant to the assistant sports information director decided that he wanted to change a little bit on everyone's resume so that all of the coaching staff would look the same and it would look very good in their publicity material that they would present on the university. And so he made these small changes. O'Leary knew they weren't so, but didn't say anything about it. Well, as he rose through the coaching ranks, those little discrepancies remained on his resume. Nobody ever knew it until he went to Notre Dame, and it just happened that a reporter was checking. After they found out that he had lied on his resume, he was fired. He had to resign as head football coach. Lost this premier opportunity, this premier job. There's no telling where he possibly would have been, where the program itself could have been if he would have remained as head coach. He's back in coaching, and he's back even as a head football coach at a small university in Florida. But it doesn't even compare to where he was with Georgia Tech. See, the problem was not in his ability. The problem was with integrity. Interesting thing is I saw George O'Leary on ESPN as he was talking about this situation. Here's what he said. He said, the interesting thing, the ironic thing about this whole situation is that I never was hired as a football coach because of those two things that were placed on my resume. They never helped him, but they nearly destroyed him. Integrity. Choosing to do what is right in the eyes of God. Choosing to do what is right even when no one is watching. Well, we realize that that may happen in the business world, happen in the sports world. Let me bring it on home just a little closer. I have someone that I consider to be a dear friend. Served with me on staff for 10 years. And I knew this man's heart. We spent a lot of time together. He followed me at a church and became the pastor of the church after I had left. And within a year, he was standing before his church admitting to an adulterous affair that he had had with a woman in the congregation. Now, I want you to know, I knew this guy. I know him. I'm still friends with him. And I can tell you that adultery was not in his heart. We had had many, many conversations and had been together in all kinds of situations. And I never saw at any time where his eyes looked in the ways that they should not look, that he ever said anything that was inappropriate that would respond to an act of immorality. Immorality was not in his heart. But here's what had happened to him. And I've had this discussion with him. There came that point in his ministry that he so desperately wanted to be a senior pastor. He wanted to be the top dog. And when he realized that I would be leaving, he decided in that church that he wanted to work his way up so that he could become the next pastor of the church. And so he was willing to compromise in certain areas with people that were some of the leaders of the church but were not spiritual leaders in the church, got into their back pocket, so when the opportunity came and the names were presented of who would be the next pastor, he would be one of the leaders. And the problem is, you see, he compromised in his integrity in some of these small areas over here. But when you compromise in these small areas, it'll eventually bear fruit in the bigger areas. He'll never serve and have the opportunity to serve in the ministry like that again. And if you see him, you can see how that event weathered him. And there's a sadness in his eyes. His hair has turned gray. And he's not the same man that he was. All because of a lack, a desire, a sense of no integrity. Integrity. Doing what is right in the eyes of God. Doing what is right when no one is watching. You see, the fact is there are certain things from a behavior standpoint that I don't do. But the reason why I don't do them is not because I don't have an inward desire to want them. It's because I don't want to suffer the consequences. I don't rob banks. Now, I don't rob banks because I'm not greedy for money. Man, I want to drive a Beamer just like everybody else. I'd love to be wearing a $2,000 Armani suit. I'd love to own a home, a vacation home, both in the mountains and down in the Bahamas. It's not because of greed that I don't want those things. You know, I have a blonde on each arm. The reason I don't do those things is because I don't want to get shot robbing a bank. It's because my wife has said that divorce is not in her vocabulary, but murder is. And if she caught me with a bond on my arm, she'd rip my arm off and then kill me. I'd get shot by the police and then get shot by my wife. And I don't want that to happen. I mean, can you imagine the newspapers? Pastor Reporter Memorial Baptist Church shot while trying to rob a bank. 27 times by his wife. See, it's integrity. Doing what is right in the eyes of God, doing what is right even when no one is watching. You see, if you had the opportunity to achieve whatever you wanted to achieve, you could sin whatever sin you wanted to sin and know that no one would see, would you do it? Would you do it? Joseph is a wonderful example for us for integrity. Here is a man who had the opportunity, and yet he didn't do it. And Joseph, I don't think, was a perfect man. I can't imagine what it would be like as a 17-year-old boy to receive the vision that he received, the dream that he dreamed. His brothers were jealous of him. He probably never should have shared that dream with those brothers, but within the providence of God, all of those things took place. And here he finds himself at Potiphar's house, in command of all that Potiphar owned. And he had an opportunity to sin. And he didn't. He remained a man of integrity. Let me share with you quickly just some principles that I think can help us. I want to challenge you this morning. If there would be anything you would do in the ministry as a man or a woman serving God, make the commitment this morning to say, I will be a person of integrity. If there's anything said about my ministry that when it's time, when it's over and said and I'm gone on to glory, may the epitaph at my gravestone, may it say, he, she was a person of integrity. How do we become people of integrity? Well, from Joseph's life, first I think it says if you want to be a person of integrity, you got to know when to say no. You have to make a decision early on, in advance, to say, here are the things I will do, here are the things that I won't do. The scripture tells us how Joseph had been in charge of everything that Potiphar owned. All that he owned was placed over his authority. And it says that Joseph was a well-built man and he was handsome. And after some time, his master's wife looked longingly at Joseph. And she said, sleep with me. But look at the verse 8. But he refused. See, I don't think it was just the immediate gratification that would have been there for Joseph. Imagine the temptation, imagine the opportunity that if he had committed this act of immorality with Potiphar's wife, of what it could have promised him. There's no telling. I'm going to make the assumption that Potiphar's wife was probably a trophy wife. That she was fairly attractive. I'm going to make that assumption. And he could have slept with her and all that she had. If she had control of all of these things, here's a woman whose husband was always gone and she's at home and here's this good-looking young guy in her house and she says, take care of my needs. And he refused. There was something in his heart. You go back. And it talks about earlier in the chapter how the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord made everything he did successful. There was a relationship that Joseph had established with God, and there were parameters that he had set in his life in which he said, there are things that I will not do, there are things that I'll do, but things that I will never do. That is the decision that you've got to make now. You cannot make a decision of what you're going to say and how you're going to respond when you are thrust in the midst of that temptation. The time to decide about integrity is before the temptation ever comes. And to say, here are the parameters that I'm going to set for my life. Here are the parameters that I'm going to set for my ministry. And here are the things that I will do and here are the things that I'll never do. Here's the line that I'm going to draw on the sand and I'm never going to cross that line. See, the fact is, There's incredible temptations in the ministry. Much more than just a temptation about immorality. There is that temptation of power. That temptation of prestige. The temptation of position. And you'll find people that will say, you know, morally, I will never do these things. But the reason why they will not do those things morally is because they know it will cost them as far as what their position, power, and prestige is. And they have a drive that says, I'm going to become the greatest that I can become. I'm going to achieve these things. I'm going to build my ego. I'm going to build my resume. I'm going to build my portfolio because I want to be these things. And the fact is that there are areas in which they're willing to compromise. And if you look through history, even among Southern Baptists, you'll find that a lot of those guys that were that way are not to be found today. The ministry is gone for them. So what I want to encourage you to do is to be a person of integrity. Choose to do what's right in the eyes of God. Make the decision now to say, here are the things that I will do. Here are the things that I will not do. Know when to say no. Learn to say no in advance. Practice it. A second thing that I see from Joseph's life that can help us be people of integrity is not only just the fact of knowing when to say no and setting that parameter in our life in advance, but then don't compromise with temptation. See, here for Joseph, it says in verse 10 that she spoke to Joseph day by day. It wasn't as though the temptation ended. She wanted Joseph to sleep with her, and then it was over with. Once he said no, it was gone. It was the fact that day by day she continued to throw these things at him. So what you have to do is you set those parameters in your life. You draw that line in the sand and you say, I'll never step over that line. And then as that temptation continues to creep in, and what happens is we begin to get weak because we realize there are others that are getting what we're not getting. They're being promoted like we're not being promoted. They're getting recognition like we're not getting recognized. And we look at how maybe they've compromised. We look at how they have done what they have done, and we begin to compromise in those areas. You see, once you make that decision, there's going to be that temptation. Satan will place an onslaught of temptation in your life. So often, we fall not because of the lack of ability. The old saying is that for many of us, our abilities will take us where our integrity cannot keep us. And we fall. And we make that decision, I'll do whatever I got to do in order to get where everybody is. Because I want to be somebody in the ministry. I had lunch with a friend of mine some time back, and we were sitting there, and he made the statement. He said, so-and-so called me the other day and wanted to go have lunch, wanted to get together, and I'll just tell you, I didn't have time for him. Because he can't get me where I want to go. And there were two things that came to my mind immediately when he said that. I'm sitting across the table from him. The first thing is, well, why are you having lunch with me? Because I ain't going to get you anywhere. I mean, I don't understand that. It was a confusing thing. But then I thought, man, what a place to put yourself that is going to open yourself up to a fall. And that's exactly what happened with him. He's no longer serving in the church. Doing things in ministry on the side, but not really serving. And he had made it. I mean, he had gone to a very large, prominent church in our convention. We want so badly to be recognized. We want so badly to have what the world has to offer, what life has to offer, that we will make a decision now and say, well, you know, I'm not going to do that. But then what happens is you go to the convention and you see the big dogs come in and you see the lap dogs beside them, and everybody, we've all seen it. And we go, man, I want to be one of those guys. We want to hobnob with the slobnobs. And to have it and to be somebody. Man, I want to preach at the convention one day. And I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get there. The problem we also find is it relates in the church. When we haven't set the parameters of our life of how we're going to live and how we're going to do ministry, it affects what we do in the church. Most of you are going to end up in the local church. You may go out and plant a church, you may go to an established church. But the thing that I'm seeing is that so often we end up losing our church positions, not because of our theology, that our theology is bad, it's not because our methodologies are wrong. It's because we lack integrity. I've heard guys say, come back and got fired from a church, and I hear them bragging. And they say, man, well, I got fired from my church. They fired me because of my theology. And I want to say, you didn't get fired for your theology, and I hope it's okay for me to say this from the pulpit here, Dr. Lawless, but you got fired because you're stupid. You know, we go out and we lack integrity because we know where a church is. We know the methods they use. We know the theology they have. We know the direction that they're going. And we're so arrogant in what we do is we say, well, they don't know what they're doing and I'm going to change them. And we're not upfront about it. It's not a problem if you go into a church and for a church to be healthy, to help them with their theology, to help them with their methodologies, to help them with all of these things. But what we do is we mask it and we don't tell them where we are and what we stand for. We don't tell them, here's the methods I want to use. Here's the theology that I hold. Here's the passions of my life. And then we begin to do those things and lay people rise up and they get rid of us. You know that more than 1,400 men and women are fired every year in Southern Baptist churches? Now sometimes it's because you go into a church and it's in a huge power struggle and it wouldn't matter if the Apostle Paul or you were the pastor on staff of that church, it would have happened anyway. Sometimes you go in and it is a moral issue and there's a moral crisis and it results in that. But so often it just happens because we do not have the integrity to go in and love that church and work with that church and work with those people. I'm convinced, and this is just a personal reflection, a personal act of repentance, that I think the thing that's going to kill us as Southern Baptists is that we're arrogant. You see, if my theology makes me arrogant, I better rethink my theology. My theology ought to make me passionate for people. My theology ought to make me compassionate. My theology ought to make me kind. My theology ought to make me love people. And I'm willing to make compromises, you see, as they come because I go to one church and I'm going to change that church so it'll get bigger and a bigger church will come after me. And I'm not really interested in that church. It's just a stepping stone for me to get so that I can get to the big time. Let me encourage you. Don't compromise with temptation. Final thing is this, and I'll hurry with this one. To be a person of integrity, remember that God rewards the faithfulness of His people. I want you to look at Joseph. You know the situation. Was thrown into prison. Eventually finds himself second in command of all of Egypt. And it talks about consistently that whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Verse 23, verse 3 of chapter 39. You go to chapter 41, verse 42, and you read how Pharaoh put his signet ring on Joseph's hand, put him in the second chariot and told everyone to bow down, that to stand at attention and to bow down and to see who this man is. That cost him. Integrity will cost you. You may not get that promotion. You may not get that church. You may not get that position. But remember that God always rewards the faithfulness of His people. And God rewarded Joseph, and God will reward you if you will be a man, be a woman of integrity. Don't allow the immediate opportunity for self-gratification to guide you and to drive you. Let God be the one who rewards you. Let God be the one who promotes you. Let God be the one who brings you to that church. who fulfills your ministry, who promotes your ministry, who makes you successful and prosperous in ministry. Everything that Joseph did, God prospered. When you lose that opportunity and you wish that you had compromised at that moment, remember, God always rewards the faithfulness of His people. I heard a story, and I heard that it was true, but it was a story about a young man who was a junior executive. Everybody knew that this guy was going to be the king. Man, he was going to rise to the top. He just had that ability, had that charismatic personality. And an opening came on the executive staff, and everyone knew that he would become that executive, that he would be the youngest executive in this corporation. He was at the executive cafeteria one day, and as they were going through all the interview processes, and it really wasn't a reason to interview anybody else, he had the job. He was going through the line, the cafeteria, and was getting his food, and he was several people up in front of the president of the corporation. The president was watching him. And notice that as he went through and got his food, that he got a roll and took a pat of butter and slid it under the roll, put the roll on top of it so that when he went to check out, the girl checking him out would not see the pat of butter and wouldn't charge him for it. When the president of the corporation saw that happen, he removed this young man's name for consideration. He didn't stay long with the corporation. You see, he had the opportunity to have it all, and he lost it all over a 3-cent pat of butter. Don't lose your ministry over the temptation of a nickel. Be a person of integrity. Choose to do what is right in the eyes of God. Do what's right, even when no one's watching. Let me pray with you. Father, I want to thank you for these students and for this faculty, for what they mean to the kingdom. And I pray, God, that you would bless them richly, bless their studies, bless them as they grow in their walk in you. And Father, may we go out and make a difference in the kingdom. Teach us what it means to be men and women of integrity. May that be the one thing for which we are known. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen.